fusion is up at the surface, and the sun interacts with its environment. So when we see these comets coming in causing solar flares, then that's a very real event. And what does modern science do? They go, oh, that's coincidence. That could not have an effect on the sun.
Jim, you feel then very strongly that the comets coming in are the cause of the aberrant behavior of the sun.
Yeah, and there's other ways. They don't have to come right in and hit the sun.
Yeah.
For example, Hale-Bopp moved around the sun for a period of 6 years and daily drew in energy from the solar capacitor because it was discharging that solar capacitor for a period of 6 years. And that steady trickle of energy into the sun pumped it way up to the point where it went way over the solar maximum for about a year and a half after Hale-Bopp moved out, totally unrecognized by modern standard science.
Jim, do you feel, I mean, this is a wild scenario, but let me tell you, as I said in the beginning, looking at that picture of our sun makes it look like some raggedy old bum sun getting ready to explode. I mean, it's got holes all over it in its cloth, and stuff is spewing out. What would be the chances of something like our sun exploding unexpectedly?
Well, and there again, if we say we went away to the nearest star and looked back at our sun,
right,
we would see it pulsating.
And
we would go, you know, that star over there has some problems over there. I wouldn't want to be living around that star.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, literally, you would be able to see this from the next star.
My gosh.
And it's we're not living around a very stable star right now. It's very unstable. And it's probably being made this way by interactions with its environment. Most probably one that's a large comet moving in that's discharging our solar capacitor. Let's look at this big pulse that went out in October.
Okay.
Scientists now claim that is reaching the far reaches of our solar system. And it's like, oh, well, it's gone. Goodbye. Don't think about that anymore. Well, no. That is exactly what's building up our solar capacitor to be even larger. So when a comet comes in now, a smaller comet would be bigger now than it normally would be because we have this very built-up solar capacitor. That's energy stored there. That's like a capacitor. That's like when you, on the old TVs, there was a big sign there, warning, do not take this off unless you're a trained technician because there are capacitors in there, kid. And if you touch one of those, they could kill you. Well,
oh, really?
Yeah. The capacitors that used to, you know, operate, they used to be instrumental in operating the electronics in the TV.
Sure, yeah.
And some of these were cans the size of a soup can in a big TV.
Jeez.
And those things held serious energy. And if you put your hands across one of those, yes, it could be curtains. And we have a solar system that is very similar to that. We have a capacitor built up around our sun. And when a comet comes in, it discharges that capacitor.
Going towards the comet or towards the sun?
Well, both. And that electrical discharge is between the sun and that outer capacitor. Now, a lot of small comets are just a local discharge. And so they don't necessarily go all the way to the sun or all the way out to the end of the capacitor. They're just a local discharge. But something like Hale-Bopp, building up over a period of 6 years, was discharging that capacitor. Now, even some small comets, scientists have been very surprised, like that one in, was it 96, Hayakutake?
Yes, yes, right.
Was something like 400 million miles long.
Holy cow.
Now, that's four times the distance to the sun. That was the extent of that comet in outer space that they could measure. So even a little comet could discharge a tremendous region of outer space. And part of that energy does end up back in the sun.
Wow.
And so a comet discharging this huge bank of energy, this capacitor, is going to drive some of that energy back in the sun. And that's what I think is going on right now. There is a major comet coming in, and it could be very far at the very edge of our solar system,
yeah.
And very difficult to see, by the way. If you tried to look from Earth to see this comet, all you would see is a very large, very diffuse water cloud. You wouldn't see a dot. You wouldn't see the nucleus. You wouldn't see anything, and you would have to have very good equipment and very good viewing conditions with no water haze in the atmosphere to see it. So,
and filters, too.
Yeah, and so you would need, I don't care how big a telescope you have or what kind of optics you, or what kind of camera you have
right.
on it, if you're looking at water haze, through water haze, you're not going to see the comet sitting out there.